morning. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll be there in just a moment. We'll spend all of our time there this morning, Luke chapter 2. I want to wish everyone a happy new year, and thank you everyone for being here. It's always an exciting time, not just to be here on every Lord's Day of the week, but this first Lord's Day of the year has always been an exciting time here at Marion Street. It's where we unveil our new theme. It's where we look forward to some things for planning for this year. It's where we look back and just see where we've been, as Wayne just mentioned a moment ago. We're going to talk about several things this morning that hopefully excite you, that will get you motivated and get you driven to do some of the Lord's work. You see our new theme there on the screen behind me. You've seen it in your bulletin. You see it in the calendar. We'll get to those calendars in just a moment. The bulletin is new and fresh. I get bored at about June with the bulletin, but I have to wait about 6 more months to do something new and fresh. And I like to change it up every year. And so you have the new bulletin. There's lots of new things happening this year, and we'll get to some more of those things in just a moment. First, I want you to think about where you were when you were 12 years old. Some of you are around that age right now. Other of you, it's been quite a while. But I just want you to step back in your own personal time machine. Where were you at 12 years old? What were you doing? Can you remember the school? Can you remember your friends? Can you remember your interests? Can you remember your hobbies? I want you to think, at that point in your life, what were you passionate about? What got you excited? What got you motivated? What got you out of bed in the morning? I'm about to tell you how cool I was in the 6th and 7th grade. That's about 12 years old. Pokemon was huge. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you have no idea what Pokemon are. But in 6th grade, Pokemon was all the rage. And just to tell you again how cool I was, I collected cards. I was kind of a nerd. I not only collected the cards, I kept them in this nice little binder with card sleeves so that they wouldn't get ruined. It's a card game that you can actually play, but me and my friends didn't play. We were too good for that. We just liked to collect the cards and show them off. I had so many cards that not only did I have them in a binder or a sleeve, I had them, the extras, a little white box that I would keep right next to the binder in my bedroom. In fact, Mom and Dad might still have it. I don't know if it was worth the move from California. I don't know. But they might still be there. That was exciting to me in 6th grade. In 7th grade, it kind of turned into sports. I just would get so excited to wake up. It's kind of when you're coming of age. And I would wake up and want to go play sports. I would want to work out. I would want to go play soccer. I got really good at soccer. I practiced all day. I would play it in my breaks in middle school. I would play on the middle school team. I would play for the city league. In fact, when I was home after I did my homework, I had a little thing where I could attach something to my wrist. I could put the ball down there in a little net, and I could kick it over and over again. It would never go anywhere because I could just pull it right back. And I just practiced over and over because I loved it. You want to know what I wasn't passionate about at 12 years old? Doing the Lord's work. And I think it's safe to say that as you are going back in your mind and you're thinking, 12 years old, where was I when I was 12? What was I passionate about? It was meaningless, childless child things like maybe sports cards or Pokemon cards or whatever was popular in your day, or collecting something, or your favorite sport, or maybe watching your favorite sports team, or whatever it was. Very few of us probably said, at 12 years old, I was passionate about the Lord's work. I would even venture to say, if I were to ask the same questions now, wherever you are, whether it's 12, or 18, or 30, or 40, 50, 60, and I were to ask you what you're passionate about right now, very few of us would probably say, I'm passionate about the Lord's work. It excites me. That's what I wake up for in the morning. No, we typically say we wake up for things like our family, our jobs, our friends. Some of you are going to wake up tomorrow morning and be totally excited because there's a national championship game on, right? Because that's what you're passionate about. In Luke chapter 2, we have a 12-year-old boy. Granted, he's the Son of God. He is our Savior. He's Jesus, but still a 12-year-old boy. And I think there's things in the text that suggest that he was just an ordinary 12-year-old boy. towards the end of the chapter, it says that Jesus was continuing to increase himself in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. He was a boy. And he had to grow just like the rest of us. But at 12 years old, we have this picture into what Jesus was truly passionate about, what he was excited for. And he taught us all a very valuable lesson. Let's start reading in verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. It says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days and returned, the boy, Jesus, lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Can you imagine parents going to a big city like Jerusalem? And when you're on your journey back home to Nazareth, you're heading back up north, you would normally travel in these large caravans, as it says, with acquaintances, with friends and family members all traveling together. You don't know where your son is, but you assume that he's with the group. And after a day, and they don't see Jesus, they say, well, we must have left him back in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Have you ever gotten into the car after church and realized your child's still in the building? Some of you I know have done that. There's this panic that just rushes over you. Oh boy, we left our child. It's like Home Alone, right? Remember that movie? We left the child. We got to go back. So they go all the way back to Jerusalem, a whole other day's journey, and they look for 3 days. Which I don't think it's a coincidence that they look for 3 days for Jesus, who would later spend 3 days in the tomb. But after 3 days of searching, after 3 days of looking, can you imagine going all over Jerusalem? They would probably spend every waking moment going from place to place. You've seen this boy. Have you ever lost a child in an amusement park or something? The sheer panic that rushes over you for just those brief few moments while they're lost. Can you imagine that for 3 days? And yet when they find Jesus, they find him with the teachers. They find him sitting in the temple, listening to the teachers, asking questions. I can only imagine walking up onto this site as a parent and you see your 12-year-old child in the midst of all these older people, these older generations who have devoted their lives to studying the scriptures. And here a 12-year-old boy is going toe-to-toe with them, asking questions that they're marveling at. They can't even understand how a 12-year-old boy would have the understanding, it says in verse 7. They were astonished at his understanding, at the answers he was giving to these questions. And when they finally get to Jesus and they say, well, why have you done this to us? Do you know what your father and I have been through? Do you know we've been looking for you? Do you know that you were supposed to head back to Jerusalem or to Nazareth with us? We traveled a whole day. You weren't with us. We came back an entire day's journey. We've been looking for you for days. And you've been here just sitting and learning and talking to these people? And the question that Jesus asks is what is going to drive us forward for the rest of this year. In verse 49, he says, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Parents, put yourself in Mary and Joseph's shoes right here. Your 12-year-old son says, why did you come looking for me? Why did you seek me? You didn't know that this is where I would be? Hey, Mary, think back 12 years ago. What happened? An angel told you that who I was going to be, right? Why did you come looking for me? This is what I'm about. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? What we see here is we see an attitude come into this 12-year-old boy that would drive him for the next several years into his ministry and into what we read in the rest of the gospel. It's the same attitude that he would try to instill in every single one of his apostles and every single one of his disciples. It's the same attitude that he's trying to instill in each and every single one of us. And it's all in that key word that you read there on the screen, must. Notice he didn't tell his parents, why did you come looking for me? I'm about my Father's business. I'm just trying to do what my Heavenly Father has asked me to do. Notice he didn't say it like that. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Did you not know that I must be about my... This is why I'm here. And what you start seeing in Jesus is this attitude of what he's truly passionate about. At 12 years old, he's passionate about the Father. He's passionate about his Father's business. And what we do here, what we see here, is we see what is coming in the years to come. We see that Christ, being about his Father's business, showed obedience to his Father. So many people have tried to say that this is one of the few sins of Jesus, even though it contradicts several other places in Scripture where it says Jesus was without sin. But this is one of the few sins of Jesus disobeying his father and mother. No, that's not the case here at all. What Jesus is showing us here is obedience to the Heavenly Father, teaching not only his parents a lesson, but also ourselves a lesson. That if we are going to be about the Father's business, if we are going to be workers and builders in his kingdom, we must have obedience to our Heavenly Father. Paul would write later in the book of Philippians that he was obedient, Jesus himself was obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. He understood what the will of the Father was. That was for him to come and sacrifice himself so that you and I can have hope of eternal life. So that you and I can have forgiveness of sins. And he was obedient to his Father. Christ showed a passion for his Father. How else do you explain the astonishing answers and questions that he was willing to ask? He was genuinely passionate about learning more about Scripture. About understanding who his Father was, about what the Scriptures were saying. He was sitting with these students of the law, these teachers of the law, genuinely wanting to learn more, genuinely wanting to study, and have a passion for his Father. What he showed was that he had a devotion for his Father. Can you imagine? Let's take away the idea that Mary and Joseph were looking for him. How many of us, at age 12, let alone at age 30, 40, 50, 60, 78, but how many of us at age 12 would have the devotion, the passion, and the obedience to sit with older people and talk about the Bible? 3 days. That's how I want to be doing at 12 years old. In fact, it's probably not what most of us would want to be doing right now, at whatever age we are. Why? Because how many of us have already looked at the clock? I've done it myself. I'm guilty of it. We've looked at the clock and wondered how much time is left in the hour and a half we've set aside this morning, let alone 3 days' work. And when we do have 3 days worth of studies, it's only an hour a night because we can't ask too much of ourselves, right? We're going to have some studies coming up this year where we're going to ask an hour of our evenings for 3 nights in a row. That's still a little much. Can you imagine the devotion that Jesus had at 12 years old to sit, to study, to listen, to ask questions? Can you imagine the devotion that he had? You get a clear picture of what was driving Jesus at a young age. And what would drive him through the rest of his ministry and the rest of his life. And I believe what is still driving him today. You get to see what he was passionate about. You get to see what he was devoted to. And when most 12-year-olds are focused on school or sports or dating or hobbies or whatever it is, Jesus was focused on his Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. And what you see from this story, but also just through the rest of his life, was Jesus was, he was driven to study. He was driven to understand and know the Scriptures. Towards no wonder later in life, as he would step into a synagogue, now as an adult, he would step into a synagogue and he would walk to the scrolls. That's how these synagogues and these places of worship for their faith, the Jewish faith, would keep their books. They wouldn't even bound books yet, like we have Bibles. There'd be big, long scrolls. And you could really only see this much of a section at a time. So if you wanted to get to, let's say, Isaiah 54, even though they didn't have chapters back then, but it's pretty deep into the scroll, you would have to know exactly where you're turning. You would have to close the scroll up and open it here, scoot it down. It's almost like a typewriter. And you just keep rolling and unrolling and rolling and unrolling until you get to the place in the scroll that you want. And Jesus was able to walk into a synagogue, walk right up to these scrolls, take the scrolls, open to the place, read from a spot, because he knew exactly where it was. Why? Because he spent years studying those scriptures. And we can say, oh, well, he was the Son of God. Of course he knew exactly where those were. No, you see, at 12 years old, he's there learning. He was setting an example for the rest of his life. In fact, you see again at the end of that, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, it says. He had to continue to study, continue to learn, and continue to increase in wisdom, which we will have an opportunity to do this year. Jesus was driven to serve. It was here at 12 years old where I believe he started in the service of his Father's kingdom. Where again, he was teaching, not just learning, he was teaching, he was studying. He could give an example not only to his mother and father here on earth, but to all of us here today. About what it means to truly serve our Heavenly Father. I think most importantly, what you start seeing here, even just 12 years old, Jesus was driven to have a relationship with God. He understood who he was and who he belonged to. He understood who his Father really was. Most of your versions, if not all your versions, when he says, ask that question, do you not know I must be about my Father's business, would have a capital F, because the way that he speaks there, he's speaking of deity, he's speaking of his Heavenly Father. That above all else, he wanted a relationship with his God, with his Father. And he was going to live his life with a relationship with God. I want you to think about where you are spiritually right now. I want you to think about Marion Street this year. This is our theme for the year of 2019. Driven. Living a life of commitment. Being about the Father's business. I want you to think about what motivates you. Just like when you were 12 years old and we were so excited about those childish things. What are you excited about now? What are you passionate about now? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What excites you? What drives you forward in your life? What are you focused on? This year at Marion Street, we want to be focused on our passion for God. We want to be driven to have a relationship with Him and to study and to serve. We want to use our passion and we want to use that drive to have that relationship, to grow spiritually, to do good to all men, to do good to the people in this congregation. We want to use this drive and this motivation to encourage every single person in this congregation to be better than they were last year. What excites you? God has made each and every single one of us in such a unique way. He has given each person in this room a unique ability to serve Him and to serve others. He has given us all different interests and different passions. He has given us all different mindsets, different attitudes. And the question we want you to ask yourself this morning is, how can I use what God has given me to serve in His kingdom? How can you drive your spiritual life forward? How can you drive this church forward? How can you help drive the kingdom of God forward? That's what this year is going to be about. You have in your hand, hopefully, if not, there is a whole stack left on the back table. You have this year's calendar. There's going to be some things in there. There's birthdays, there's anniversaries, there's events. Use that calendar. There's lots of information in it. We'll get to the first couple pages here in just a moment. But if you have that calendar, what we're going to do this year, this is something completely brand new, we're going to email out a link for you to download it to your phone, to your tablets, to your computer. There might be some learning curves in this as we try this out the first month or so. But if your email is in the Courtyard app, you will be getting a link tomorrow with something else we'll talk about in just a moment, where you will be able to subscribe to the church calendar. And that way you don't need to hang on to the physical copy all year. You will have it on your phone, and you can set reminders and updates, so whatever you like to do on your phone, it will be there for you. Those are there for you. Those are there for you to use, and there's several things that we'll say about some more of those things in just a moment. I want us to just take a look at things that Marion Street does, that we've done in the past, that we will continue to do in the coming year. And the whole point of us showing this to you this morning is to understand that there are so many different opportunities to serve God and serve His people at this congregation. We have had for years things like men's and ladies' studies. And these studies are just huge. So going back to what we just talked about with Jesus and being driven to study and learn more about God, but also to fellowship just with other people. I can't speak for the ladies' studies because I've never been to one, but our men's studies are just incredible. Where we just get to sit and eat and be with other men and talk about the church, talk about things outside the church, just get to know each other, and then all come together and open our Bibles together and read together, discuss things, and pray together. It's just an amazing time. And if you're not utilizing these studies, these ladies and men studies, you need to. Because they'll help us grow spiritually. We have our regular Bible classes. Again, just a time to be together and to study with one another. To listen to other people's comments, to ask questions, to learn. This quarter, we are all going to be upstairs one more time. We'd like to do this once a year. It just so happened it fell in the first quarter this year. We will all be upstairs as adults, and then we'll break off to our upstairs, downstairs the rest of the year. But this year we're going to be looking at pursuing excellence. We're going to look at every area of life that we go through, on how to pursue excellence, on how to be better students, on how to be better husbands and wives, on how to be better grandparents, on how to be better parents, how to just pursue excellence in every aspect of life. What drives us to be better and pursue excellence? And that will be in our regular Bible classes starting on Wednesday night. We're going to have a special sermon series the first Sunday of every quarter. That will also be tonight, called The Good Life. What makes a life good? What makes a life complete? We're going to start looking at some of those things tonight. We're going to have a special series on evidences with Buddy Payne next month. Buddy Payne is the president of Florida College. He has devoted his life to studying evidences. Was here about 5 years ago, and the elders said, we need him back. We're looking into venues outside of this church building so we can invite the public and try to teach the gospel and evangelize with this series on evidences. And there'll be more information on that coming up in the next month or so. We've done things for this for the last several years as well, but we're going to have our spring series again. We're going to have different preachers come and speak to us on different Wednesday nights in the spring. We have a fall gospel meeting with Tony Mock, who we had several years ago, and we wanted to make sure we brought him back because he just gave us some good applicable lessons. We're going to have our vacation Bible school again for our children. Something new that we're going to do this year is called Monday's Minute. And again, that is, if your email is in the Courtyard app, you will receive this. If it's not, make sure I get it before tomorrow and I'll put you on the list. But for the last couple of years, we've had snapshots, and they've been little booklets that we've given out at the beginning of every quarter. We put them on the back table. And I think last time, in quarter four, only 5 of those snapshots were taken. And so we started thinking of ways on how do we just get more information out to more people and daily encouragement or weekly encouragement. And so now we're going to start. We're going to try it for this year called Monday's Minute, where every Monday you will receive something in your email where it's just a minute in God's Word. There'll be a verse, there'll be a little write-up, maybe a little prayer we can say together as you're sitting there reading. Just something to focus our minds on the Bible, and on serving God. And hopefully that starts your week off in the right way. There will also be announcements with that email and things like that. But just a real quick, if you get to your desk in the morning, open your email and see a Bible passage from God's Word and a little writing on it. Nothing long, just a minute. Now this is what was new and exciting. This is what's going to take some explanation here. We are going to change and transition as a congregation. We're going to kind of use this Sunday, this next month, as a breaking point. Like Wayne said, Paul tells us to look forward. So moving forward, there's going to be what we are calling some new teams. You may have already read through some things in the calendar that you've been given. But real quickly, just so we're all on the same page, let's look at what we're talking about here for just a few moments. As we were discussing the congregation in the last several months, the elders and I, we came to our groups, our traditional four work groups, group one, group two, group three, and group four. And I think all five of us were agreeing that they just needed something to give them a punch in the arm, to get some excitement back in them. They were formed years ago. I wasn't here when they were formed, but as we were talking, they were formed years ago as the congregation was growing, just to integrate new people into groups and get to know each other as a social group. They would take care of the weekly needs, if weekly needs would arise for food or different things like that. Some of them have taken on a life of their own to write cards to visitors or new members or to do service projects here and there. And all that is great. We'll get to how we're going to replace that in just a moment. But we said, something needs to change. We need a shot in the arm. We need some excitement. And so starting in February, starting next month, our traditional work groups will no longer be meeting. There will be no group one, group two, group three, and group four. Instead, what we will have is we will have eight new teams based on the needs of this congregation. The elders and I sat down and made a list of all the needs that this congregation has. We presented it to the deacons and a couple months ago when we met with the deacons and their wives. And we said, here's this idea, here's our needs. They even added a few of their own. And so the leadership of this congregation saw that we had eight needs that need to be focused on right now. Eight needs where we as a congregation could focus and we could work together to better not only this congregation, but better the kingdom of God. Teams will meet at least once a month to accomplish certain tasks. Just like our groups are meeting once a month now, these teams will meet once a month and they'll each have different things they are asked to do and they are going to accomplish those things. We'll get to the teams here in just a moment. The elders have chosen team leaders to be in charge of each one of these teams. The elders will not be in charge of these groups, so basically there's no rules. No, I'm kidding. They have chosen men qualified to lead these teams. These are not deacons. In fact, I don't think we have any deacons serving as team leaders. We did that on purpose because they're busy enough as it is. But these are our men who we felt like were qualified to lead these teams, to lead this congregation, and to complete these tasks. They will be in charge of communicating with their team. They will be in charge of reporting back to the elders. And myself, I'm going to be like the liaison between the elders and the team leaders to make sure that the tasks and the jobs are getting done in this congregation. And so they've been chosen to lead each team. One question that came up with the elders and the deacons and their wives were, what about the weekly food needs? Because that's what the groups have been taking care of for the last several years. Instead of the groups taking care of the weekly food needs, we will put everybody in the congregation together, which will most likely be the women, as it's been discussed, because they're the ones doing the cooking. You don't want my cooking. I guarantee you would prefer Brooks. But you will have these three ladies, Terry Banta, Joan Bullington, and Brooke Harrington, in charge of making sure all these needs are taken care of. So whenever there's a need, you will go to them. And they will make sure that food is taken to the sick. They will make sure that the new mothers are still getting meals. All the needs, no one will be neglected. All the needs will still be met. The reason for doing this is twofold. One, because it gets the congregation involved and passionate about what they are doing and what we are doing as a whole congregation. But two, it frees the elders to focus on shepherding. The elders have been shepherding and going through shepherding classes on how to be better shepherds, on how to be better stewards to this congregation. And this frees up their time to focus more on us, the congregation, the sheep. And so by doing this, it lets them be, I think, biblical leaders, as we see in the Bible. It gives the congregation tasks and things to do as we continue to move forward, as we drive forward in the kingdom of God. But the weekly food meetings are going to be organized by those women. These groups are voluntary. We're going to ask you very politely at first. We're going to ask you to sign up. Because this entire year is about what motivates you. What motivates you to serve God? What motivates you to serve in His kingdom? And so we're going to ask you to sign up for at least one team. You can sign up for every team if you would like to. That might be what you're passionate about. You might not be able to do everything with every team because there's going to be a lot going on, hopefully. But that's up to you. But at least one team. To us, this was better than us assigning you a group, saying you're group four, and never coming to a group meeting. At this point, you get to choose what you are passionate about, what you're excited about, where you want to serve, and where you want to help this congregation and the Lord's kingdom. And so, in the back, there will be a sign-up sheet. It's not there today because we didn't want everyone rushing to the board and signing up immediately. We want you to go home. We want you to talk about it. You have the list of teams in your calendar. If you didn't get a calendar, get one on the way out. I'll put the list of teams up in a moment as well. We want you to go talk about it as a married couple, or think about it just individually. Where can you best serve God, and where can you best serve this congregation? Starting Wednesday, you can sign up on that bulletin board back there with the map. It will no longer have a map. That will be devoted to our new team. Many of you probably didn't even know we had a map board back there. It's back there. But it will be a new board devoted to these teams with updates and comments and things that we've done and how we help the community and all the exciting things happening. But that's where we will sign up. We will have the whole month of January to sign up. And we will start meeting in February. Now, that's the logistics of it. But what about these teams? What are we going to be working on? As the elders and I and the deacons and all of us got together and we focused on the needs of this congregation, we came up with these eight groups on where we need to strengthen this congregation and help the kingdom of God drive forward. The first one is a team for new members. Now, I say this is not a team of new members. This is a team of members from this congregation that will focus on people when they come in and place membership. We help them become part of the family. We focus on them. You get them excited about what's going on here at Marion Street. You make sure that they're not left out. You know how many people we have place membership and they might not know what Bible classes are being offered or where their kids are supposed to go to classes. How do I get a key? What's the courtyard at? What are the new teams? And so this group will be in charge of implementing some strategies on how we can help these new members become part of our family faster and easier. Might take them out to lunch, might take them out to dinner, might hold special monthly meetings saying, hey, come to our house, let's get to know you a little bit as a group. We're going to have a team that is focused on our widows and elderly. Again, this is not a team of widows and elderly. Of course, you are always welcome to sign up for this team if you would like. But a team that focuses on them, on visiting them, on encouraging them, on making sure that they know that if they have to stay home for whatever reason, there's a live stream that we can help get you set up and you can still participate in our worship service. We were talking about it as we met with the team leaders. You know, spring's coming up, and there might be some people that can't even mow their own yards. Can we help them? Can we serve them in any way? There's going to be a team that focuses on our visitors. We do have a deacon in charge of this, but this has become a task. We have so many visitors every Sunday. And this is a task that they need some help with. And so this is a team that will focus on contacting our visitors, on welcoming our visitors, asking them to lunch, asking them to dinner, inviting them to your monthly meeting so they can get to know the congregation. They're going to work closely with the new members team, trying to teach them and study with them, trying to get them to become new members because we want to spread the gospel. We're going to have a team that is in charge of our teams in college. We have a lot of college kids who are sent home for the holidays. They're about ready to go back to school. What we don't want to do is we don't want to forget them while they're away at college. We want them to remember that they have a church family here. So we're going to send them some care packages. We're going to write them notes. We're going to make sure that we have a group of people that is letting our teens and college kids know that they belong here, that we love them, and we can't wait to see them again if they're away to college. If they're here locally, encourage them. Take them out to lunch. Take them out to dinner. Include them. Make them feel like not a young person, but a member of this congregation. I do want to say about these first four real quick. There is already a lot of things going on in this congregation that focus on these groups. This is not to replace what's already going on. It's to help and to take it further and to drive it further. If you're already doing something in this area, don't say, hey, well, now there's a team in charge, but I don't have to do this anymore. No, keep going. Sign up for the team if you want, but keep going. We just want to make sure nothing falls through the cracks. We are going to have an outreach and evangelism team. As the elders and I were talking, we looked at how we just really do 0% of this. There's not a lot of this going on in this congregation right now. We need to fix it. And so there will be a team that is in charge of reaching out to the community, serving the community, making sure that while we are doing that, we are doing it to teach the gospel, to evangelize. We are going to have a Bible study team where we just get together and have extra Bible studies. This does not replace our Bible classes here at the congregation. It does not replace the ladies and men studies. Those will still go on. But maybe you want more. Maybe you just need something extra. Maybe you can't meet on Tuesday nights or Thursday nights, whenever these men's and ladies' studies are. But maybe you can meet on Tuesday morning. Maybe you just need a Bible study. Maybe it's one-on-one. Maybe it's with a group. We're going to see how many people sign up for this team here. We're going to see, can we divide them up into men and ladies? Can we divide them up into young and old? Can we divide it men and women? Can we divide it, whatever it is. If you need an extra study, that team is for you. In talking about some of these things, we looked at how some people just enjoy the traditional what we've done for the last several years, and that's getting together and socializing once a month at someone's house. And so we wanted to make sure that there was an opportunity to do that. One of our obligations as Christians is to fellowship with one another and get to know each other on a deeper level. A lot of that is done in our worship and before and after worship, but it's also done in these moments outside of worship where we can just get together and focus on one another and get to know each other. And so if you do like the aspect of what our group has done for the last several years, let's get together and just socialize, sign up for that. Again, we're going to see how many people sign up for that group. It might be we need just one group. It might mean we need two if there's too many. We'll focus on that as we go forward. And the last group was a suggestion by one of our deacons, and that was, what about a service team? Well, they can kind of work with multiple groups, but they're just a group of our members that focuses on serving others. There are so many people in this congregation that need help, but might not ask for it. They need to be served, but they're not ready to come forward and ask. This would be a group that seeks those people out, that looks for opportunities to serve, to help other people, to help this congregation, to help our elders, to help our deacons, to help the community. Whatever it is, they are there to serve. Now, again, there's some more information in the calendar if you need to get one on the way out or if you're kind of following along with me. But those are our teams. Each one has a leader. Each one has a task that they are going to be given to accomplish throughout the year and the years to come. These teams are need-based. We might get halfway through the year and realize, you know what? This team isn't needed. We might get halfway through the year and say, you know what? We left a gaping hole in one of our needs as a congregation. Let's get a new team and let's take care of it. We want to make sure that in everything we do as this congregation, we are doing it to the best of our ability. That we are serving God, we're serving God's people, and we're serving people even outside of these walls. That is our goal as this congregation, to teach the gospel, to strengthen other people, and to drive forward. Now, that was a lot of information, I understand. If you have any questions, you can talk to myself, you can talk to the elders. There will be, let me clarify this, there will be some learning curve with this new idea. There might be some bumps along the road, but I think this will be worth it. Because you get to choose what you're passionate about. You get to choose where you can be of best service to God in this congregation. And so we want you to think about these things. Go home and talk about them. Think about it. Pray about it. Where can you best be used in this congregation and in God's kingdom? And then let's get to work. There are a lot of great things planned for this year and this congregation. But as Wayne said a few moments ago, it all depends on each and every person here. How excited we're going to be, how driven we're going to be to build the borders of this kingdom. I know this is not a traditional lesson. We always kind of use this Sunday in our year, the first Sunday of the year, to just go over some housekeeping things and to get us on board for what's to come in the coming year. But let's go back to that little boy Jesus for just a moment. 12 years old. Passionate and driven to do his father's business. If you're here this morning looking for a clean start, this is, I think, the best opportunity to do it. It's the first Sunday of the new year, and maybe you just need that fresh, clean slate. You need to ask forgiveness. You need to come back to the Lord. This is your opportunity to do that. To decide right now what you are going to be passionate about and what is going to drive you forward. But maybe you never obeyed the gospel. Maybe you've never considered obeying the gospel. What we're going to look at tonight is the life that Jesus can give us through Him. That He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you want to start this year off being added to the Lord's church, if you want to start this year off with that clean slate, saying, I want my sins to be forgiven, and I want to give my life to Christ, this is the opportunity to do that. Don't let another moment go by. Be driven today to do good. To serve God. If we can help you in any way, come forward as we sing it, and as we sing it.
How great is our God?
The glow, the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty.